The Hard Shoulder
on News Talk
with Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
On News Talk.
Thanks, Eamon. Okay, serious topic now, and it could literally be a matter of life or death. What am I referring to? Well, we're talking about new medicines that are under patent, that have been through years of clinical trials, that may give new cures to rare diseases and so on. But pharmaceutical companies charge an arm and a leg for the availability of these new products, and therefore we have to have a process to say, okay, out of the 17 billion that we spend on the health service, how much should we give to new drugs? Should we give the money to hospital beds? Should we give it to community nursing care, home help hours? And therefore you have to literally play God. Well, the reason we're talking about this is a story today from the Irish Times that the government and the Department of Health, you get this news after the election, has rejected a last-minute plea by the HSE board for an additional 20 million euros to fund newly available drugs and medicines this year. So, what is the process? Because obviously the pharma companies want it approved. Well, to be quite honest with you, I've chaired a number of conferences of the pharma sector, and the man that they look to as God in this area often gets the blame for, you know, not getting state approval for new drugs, which could cost tens of thousands per treatment, is a guy called Michael Barry. And he's the clinical director for the National Centre for Pharmaeconomics at St. James's Hospital. And he's sitting in front of me. You're welcome to the programme, Michael.
Hi, sir.
Would you please explain? So, we've a rare type of disease that maybe only 1 in 10,000 people has, and someone invents a cure for it that internationally is found to work, but the cost of it is a fortune. And this came up with the cervical cancer issue in terms of treatments for Vicky Phelan and so on. What is the process by which you do your pharma economics assessment?
Sure, Ivan. Well, what happens when a company wants to get such a product onto the market is, first of all, they have to satisfy the regulators that the product is safe and effective. And then when they apply for a price to the HSE, they have to undergo an economic evaluation. And that's when we look at all the costs, all the benefits, put them all together and try and come up with an estimate of the value for money proposition. And that's what we do at the National Centre for Pharmacoeconomics. And you saw the article there talking about 20 million, but I think it's worth looking at the huge problem and the huge challenge we face. If we look at the drugs that are for 2019, 39 drugs and
new drugs,
the 5-year budget impact for those will be about 300 million euro. Now, if we didn't do the process that we do, it would be another 200 million onto that. So it would be 500
Explain
million.
Explain that, please.
So in other words, when we assess the value for money, the HSE then goes into negotiations with the industry, and it regularly receives price reductions overall of the order of 40%, which means that, as you were rightly stated, often the companies come to the market and ask for prices which are well above what we should be paying.
Okay. I would have thought that if you were inventing a cure for a rare disease, we'll take a form of cancer, you wouldn't be doing it for little old Ireland. You'd be doing it on a global basis. And therefore, the trade price of drug X that'll cure lymphoma cancer, right, is set in America or in Europe. Why is it that there's a different price, or is it the same price in Ireland, or is it that these are only available in some countries?
Well, the first thing to say is very few drugs actually cure anything. That's the first point. With exceptions, for example, of hepatitis C in recent years. They may improve things, there's no doubt about that. In relation to the pricing, there's very little transparency as to what's going on in other countries. We have a list price, but we're not really sure what the actual price is paid across the countries, even in Europe. And that's the challenge.
Why is that? Well, why don't we just decide? You know what? We'll close down Michael Barry's office, and what we'll do is we'll just tag along to the NHS. They have 60 million people, and we'll co-purchase and approve with them. How would that go?
Well, it would certainly lead for a quieter life. There's no doubt about that, Ivan. But
would it work?
Probably would work for me. But I think that, you know, different countries have different abilities to pay. And I think that's one important point across Europe. And it's the affordability. And that's what we're talking about here, really. It's the affordability issue. And the point I was making earlier on, if we think it's a challenge now, I can tell you what's coming next is going to give us even greater challenges. And you pointed out that there. I mean, we're looking now potentially at gene therapies, these advanced therapies. They can cost anything up to €2 million for a 60-minute infusion. So these are the sorts of challenges.
That will cure what type of illness?
Well, there's no guarantee they'll cure it either. So, for example, the one I'm thinking of would be for spinal muscular atrophy. You might recall the new Nusinersen or Spinraza controversy last year. Now, we have gene therapies coming along that may be useful in this particular setting, but also in other hematological areas. So a lot of real challenges facing us.
But what price do you put on a life?
Yeah,
you probably worked out $7,500, is it?
No. We frequently get asked this question. We would always argue we're not actually putting a price on a life. That's for your insurer, your life insurer. What we do is we work out what is the additional benefit and what is the additional cost, and we relate those two. So, in other words, is what you're paying or what you're asked to pay, is it in keeping with the benefits that the drug is going to provide?
But how do you evaluate that? Like, just say it turns terminal illness into a chronic illness.
Yeah.
And just say you get 10 years onto someone's life, which leads me to the other vista, which is, okay, I've got Plan E or whatever, the most premium plan in private health insurance. Will the insurers pay for it? Whatever about the state?
Well, that's another issue. Now, I mean, in relation to the methodology, it's getting more and more complex. And so we have to have a mixture of skills with clinical people, statisticians, mathematical people, because the way that it's presented to you is quite complex. And you're absolutely right. It can be. So, but you do have to take in all the costs, all the benefits, and try and come up with an estimate, a value judgment at the end of the day.
Okay, talk us through this row, because lay people, and you know, there's politics and there's different things. Last minute plea by HSE board for €20 million for special funds to newly available drugs and medicines this year, that's 2020, rejected by the department. Presumably they're saying, look, we've other things we need to spend the money on, and we're our priorities in that direction. Do you have an opinion on this particular €20 million request?
Yes, I mean, I can see both sides here. I mean, I can see the HSE, which has the challenges that we see every day. It's got a number of drugs, in this particular case, about 10 drugs that it would be minded to reimburse if it had the money. On the other side, you have the department who will make the claim that, well, look, you know, we are increasing expenditure on health this year by about 6% or €1 billion. And whilst there's no ring fencing of budgets for drugs, you could take it out of that increased budget. So I can see where both are coming from. And it is a challenge, but it's back to the old problem. It's affordability. But as you said as well, and I completely agree with you, it's the opportunity cost. I mean, should we be spending money on these drugs, or should we be spending it elsewhere?
That's
in the
why
healthcare?
We rely on experts like you to tell us.
Yes.
Because, I mean, like, I do think this shouldn't be put in the area of politics. Because what will happen is, whoever shouts the loudest with a particular thing will be able to get bend the politicians' ear who are interested in votes and so on. There must be some fair way of doing it rather than through political stroking.
Well, yeah, I suppose the first one is when we assess the value for money proposition, and I should say that about over 90% of all drugs that we assess are not value for money. I should say that. And that's simply because of the astronomical prices that are being asked. But these drugs that we're talking about here have got over this hurdle. They've been assessed by our centre, and the HSE is now minded to pay for them, except that, of course, it's a matter of funding. And that's your challenge.
Okay. Final question.
Yeah.
Drugs is a big element of the €17 billion we spend on health. What is it?
About 2.6.
Yeah, it's nearly 3 billion. Yeah, it's getting on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. How do drug prices across both generic drugs, patented drugs and so on, how does the price compare with, say, Northern Ireland? Look, everyone says, oh, I went in Portugal on my holidays and I couldn't believe what the price of salpetadine was or whatever it might be. In other words, what is the truth about whether we're getting value? Because, you know, we've got a lot of these pharma companies here. We hear from Central Bank. Indeed. It's a huge part of the economy. So we're a little bit conflicted. But Ireland isn't a huge market for them. So do we pay over the odds for drugs, patented and unpatented, or not?
We used to. I don't believe we are now, in the sense that we are linked to 14 other countries, and it's the average of those that we pay for off-patent and indeed patented drugs. So I think we have made huge strides in that area, and we're quite competitive now.
All right. Well, it seems to me, in a sea of vested interests, that Michael Barry is actually trying to be an honest broker in relation to the conflicting and competing demands on our health service. Health expenditure is infinite. Resources are limited. Michael Barry, Clinical Director with the National Centre for Pharma Economics. We will follow this story at James's. Thank you for joining us. We are continuing to be loved up this Valentine's Day after the break.